Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 328, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Dog.
That's what happened with the reviews.
Yeah, so
it's a completely different movie.
It's the Supreme Court ruled that I don't have to talk about Thor Ragnarok now that you put dog on the end of it.
What?
Did you see that story?
No.
You commented on it.
Okay.
I thought you did.
So it was like commenting on things.
It was in Louisiana, right?
Okay.
And
oh, yes. So this was Colin.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
So this guy was accused of being a rapist, and now just in the interest of fairness, he seems to be a dirtbag who probably did it. Like, you know,
allegedly.
But during his interrogation, he asked for a lawyer, and when you ask for a lawyer, the questions stop, and they have to go find you an attorney, right? And they didn't get him a lawyer. And have you seen this story, Dan? Mm. So the police and the district attorney argued that they didn't get him a lawyer because he said, and I quote, "Give me a lawyer, dog." And they said,
"We couldn't find a lawyer dog.
We don't know what lawyer dogs are."
Oh my god!
And
that is the craziest argument ever.
And I'm like, yep. I don't know how you can make this argument with a straight face.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And it went all the way up to the Louisiana Supreme Court, and they upheld it and upheld his conviction.
No,
and
don't
and,
do a crime in Louisiana.
And yes. I was like, I bet you if he had said, "I'm a rapist, dog," they would have accepted that right. as a confession. Yeah. They wouldn't have been like, "But he's not a dog.
Where do we find a lawyer dog?"
That's a tough one because, like you said, you think he's probably a scumbag, whatever. But like that, I don't know how I feel about that when he clearly that's really bending
the rule. The rule of thumb was that when you hear the word lawyer,
right? To try to argue he asked for a dog that practices law, that's really
playing dumb.
Yeah, that's being deliberately. Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't.
That's like the. I mean, honestly, that's the kind of stuff your kids pull.
Yep. Right.
Yes.
You know.
Yep. It's like, or a president.
Yeah.
What's the definition of the word "is"?
Right.
I mean, because they may have won that argument, but if they were being serious, they look like the biggest morons of all. You know what I mean? Like, clearly,
because I mean, if you're gonna going to sit here and say we don't understand, you know, right. That's not even like
a thing.
That's not even like a new colloquial expression.
No.
I mean, are you telling me that Randy Jackson on American Idol thought it was all singing dogs in front of him?
He just didn't know.
He had no idea.
Well, canines are in fact
his LASIK yet, so he thought he was watching. Yeah, like there was, you know, Rottweilers up there, and there was, you know, Pitbulls. He was watching all these, and you know, he heard Pitbull, and he was like,
"Oh,
yeah,
boy,
I told you,
Pitbulls,
dog."
I feel like they're unsafe, but let's see what he can do.
I would argue that if that's truly what the cops think, they need to be fired. Because
I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
Because if they truly believe that, then that means they don't know how to interact with suspects
with normal human beings.
If they're that
dumb.
Unaware of street slang.
Right. Yeah.
Street slang that's so commonly used
right.
that it was on the most yeah. popular television show in America for eight yeah. goddamn years.
Nice.
Well, it was the most,
oh,
popular,
most popular for
8 years.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, right.
So,
on.
But anyway, enough of that. Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
Kevin.
And Tom. So there you go.
Do
so,
you remember when Bill Clinton said, like, what is the definition? I remember.
I it depends
like
on what the definition of is.
Yeah.
Is.
I was like, what, 97, 98? Somewhere around. No,
I think it was
later
earlier
than
that.
Okay. Even. So we'll say 96.
If this is not Thor Ragnar related, let's get moving.
At 1996, when I'm 12 years old, I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
That argument. All right, I'm going to try to use that argument, but I don't think it's going
to work. It
won't
work. yeah. So anyway, yeah. Thor Ragnarok. Let's go.
All right. So here we are. Three movies. This is our third. Everybody has gotten a third movie except for Thor at this point. And we're here. And it's weird because the Thor movies have been very faux Shakespeare up until now. And this is... So the first Thor was directed by Kenneth Branagh. The second Thor was a Game of Thrones guy, I think. Not one of the two big
there was
guys.
There was a director swap with the second
one. Oh, was
one.
There? Mm-hmm. Okay. Alan something is his name. And then
Partridge.
Jackson. Smithy.
No. Davis. There's your comic book reference for today. Alan Davis. Who still draws everybody like they're in the 70s. It's great. So good. And then we've got, is it
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi. From
that almost sounds like something we should have to bleep out.
No,
nope.
From What We Do in the Shadows, he did another one, like
Hunt for the Wilder People,
mm-hmm. And obviously,
He was in a comedy duo with Jemaine Clement,
yes,
called the Humor Beasts,
and then they did Flight of the Conchords.
He wrote and directed a few episodes.
Okay.
He directed a lot of the music videos within the show.
Gotcha.
But James Bobbin is the other partner of theirs. That he's the director of the Muppet stuff, but he was also like
a
creator of the
okay.
show. Yeah.
Okay.
So and, they're all from that troupe, the New
yes,
Zealand
correct.
Troupe. You know,
and he's a Kiwi.
He is a Kiwi. Yep. And he, this flick definitely goes after that Guardians vibe.
Oh yeah.
And, and doesn't quite get there. I don't think this is as good as Guardians 1. It's better than Guardians 2.
I disagree. Completely.
It's better than Guardians 2?
I think Guardians 2 is better than this.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
But I liked this.
That's the thing is like, I enjoyed it. I had fun in it. I thought it was well done.
They had humorous beats in the first one.
Yes.
When the second
one... You mean his dyed blonde eyebrows? Because that was really funny.
Well, in the first one, I mean, it was definitely, like, they had moments.
The fish out of water story.
Well, I mean, I think they were like...
They Star Trek Ford it.
It was appropriate because, yeah, exactly. Like, when she kept hitting him with the car.
Right,
it was like,
right.
It was funny and it worked.
Yeah.
But it was all still, like, the Marvel Universe was still fairly new.
Right.
The second one... It wasn't, and then, you know, especially when they were in
like the dark elf stuff.
And, yeah, and you know, like the mother and all that
right.
stuff. I mean, any time that they were, you know, in the realms.
Yeah.
No. But then when they came to, London. You know, back on Earth in London, they would have these funny
you
beats. But it was sort of like.
Meow, meow.
They were against, you know, they worked against each other. This one, I think they were like, you know, we're going to go ahead and just like, we can't just keep doing this. Shakespearean,
yeah. Right. Yeah. And they, I think, given Hemsworth run on Ghostbusters, I think they realized, oh, this dude's kind of funny.
He can pull it off.
Purportedly, half this movie's improv.
I could see that.
Like that much of it is.
Well, I know the It's a Friend from Work is improv. A Make-A-Wish kid came up with it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was visiting the set, and he's like, oh, it's like a friend from work.
That's
and they were all like, yeah, say that one.
Yeah.
Cut this kid a check.
That's awesome,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we pick up Thor has been captured. He's telling the story of where we are up until this point. We know that he believes that Odin or that Loki has died. He died at the end, quote unquote, died at the end of two.
But we see,
but
was
we
like
know,
a stinger
we
or something.
Stinger,
yeah,
we know
knew.
That he's not dead, but he has taken the place of Odin.
Right.
And Thor is, you know, he's stuck in this cage and he falls out of the cage. And here it's Surtur, I think is his name. And he's this, you know, evil being. He's Mephisto kind of, but
yeah,
you know,
I had problems with Surtur was so big, and then when he gets the helmet, it's big, but it's not. I mean, it's on his back. Like
it's kind of like the ring.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It shrinks and grows.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute. That beast, I mean, clearly he's huge when they show him, and then somehow it's on his back. I just was like,
Yeah.
Anyway. Well,
yeah. So Thor, of course, does what Thor does. Pretty good fight between him and Surtur, and he realizes that Surtur is the bringer of Ragnarok to Asgard. Now, if you know anything about Asgardian lore, Ragnarok is the end of everything. Like, everybody dies in Ragnarok. That's just the prophecy. So when they titled this movie Ragnarok, I was like, we're going to lose everybody. Like, there's nobody going to be, you know, Thor is going to be left and probably Loki, but there may not be any Asgardians left at the end of this movie, given the title. I'm sort of right.
Yeah.
So he defeats him. He takes Surtur's head and goes back. He's trying to get back to Asgard, but he can't. So what happened to Heimdall?
Loki banished him because.
When?
Yeah.
Do we see that happen?
No, when he took over and got rid of all the like.
So I did not go back and
Odin when he banished him.
Okay, so I did not go back and watch one or two or either of the Avengers. Because I didn't care enough.
No.
But I was wondering if I'd missed something as to why he'd been banished.
Okay. Oh, this is all because of just Loki in the beginning.
Loki being a prick.
Yeah.
Okay. So Heimdall is no longer at the Bifrost.
This is hilarious. I loved Carl Urban.
So you
in
have
this
Carl
movie.
Urban as Scourge.
Yeah.
With his stuff.
He's trying to impress these Asgardian
girls.
Women that are all dressed in like the nice robes and all that and trying to tell them a story. And then so like Thor's calling for him to open it. And he won't do it. And he does it the last minute and he brings the dragon that's chasing
him. Half the dragon's head.
And then the way the head slides and is all bloody and then the eye rolls like that.
And the girls, Scourge and the girls are covered in dragon goo. Yeah. And he was just like, wait, I'm supposed to announce you. And Thor's just like, okay. And he takes off and we get to Odin. This was very funny. Odin is, you know, laying on a couch, eating grapes, watching a play about Loki's death.
Yeah. So
with
great.
A cameo by Matt.
Three cameos.
Matt Damon and Sam Elliott.
Sam Neill
as Thor. Liam Hemsworth. Is Thor.
Oh, Liam Hemsworth is Thor?
Liam Hemsworth is Thor.
Chris Hemsworth's brother is Thor.
Right.
And
Matt Damon
is
Loki.
And Sam Neill is Odin.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Okay. So
this is just such a good scene.
Yeah.
And Odin's not being Odin-like. You can tell something's up because he's like laughing and cursing at some
it's
points.
So
it's
hard
just
his leg and eating grapes.
Anthony Hopkins always has such like gravitas. And even when he's trying to be this other version of Odin, he still kind of has this like aura around him where it's just like, this is so weird.
Well, yeah,
and I think it was supposed to be weird.
Yeah, I think he does a great job, but we think it's weird because we're like, oh my gosh, Anthony Hopkins is like goofing around. Yeah.
And you don't see Anthony Hopkins goof around ever.
Right.
It's great. Yeah. I loved it.
Thor shows up and he's covered in blood and guts and he's got the head of Surtur on his back.
I loved it when they're watching the play and the townsperson leans on Thor, like, because Thor delivers his line.
Gone. He's been gone for a while.
Thor delivers his line in the play, and she leans on him like, and Thor's right next
so
to her.
Sweet.
Like,
it's sweet, and Thor's, Hemsworth is just like,
it's just great.
What?
The physical humor, and like, that's Taika Waititi is responsible for a lot of that. I just love that style that he has, so I think having him do this movie was perfect because of Thor 2 and how everyone sees that. Like, to change the tone and go with this, I think that's what this character needed.
Well, this movie also, there was like three like sort of established Marvel tropes, which really were more Whedon tropes that they like take before they even become tropes. They already make fun of.
Yes.
They right off the bat with the hammer, you know, where he's kind of like got his hand out and there's a long pause. It was like, that was smart.
I like that.
They play with it.
They do it twice. They do it when he sees Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But it's the umbrella. Like, I liked it then. But then again, when he's fighting Surtur and like, he's got all the things coming at him.
I didn't time that right.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm coming around.
All right.
They played with it. And you could tell, like, this is a much more playful movie.
Yes. Yeah. It's a much lighter tone than one or two.
So when it's compared to Guardians, it's like, well, Guardians is kind of,
they established that tone?
It's sort of like it came to that. And this is like the evolution that we've slowly
seen.
Yeah. When it seems like they have the kind of
working at the moment of when we're off Earth, we can be
goofy.
Silly.
Yeah. Because we're going to get pretty serious come May. Maybe even serious come February, because that's Black Panther. Like, that's going to be a different...
Yeah. I don't think that has quite the vibe of
no.
Wackiness.
No, I'm interested to see what the vibe of that is.
It looks awesome. I saw the trailer before Thor. Yeah. Like, it looks so cool.
I'm interested to see what that tone is.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
It
seems different.
It does.
Michael B. Jordan looks badass. And that,
I wish they would not have shown him in the costume.
Yeah.
Like, that was the one part I was like, damn it. Like, just leave something to...
But I'm just like, man, like, it makes me excited for that movie. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah, Coogler's on a roll. Like, that dude, yeah. So he goes and he realizes that Odin is not Odin.
Right.
So he kind of grabs him by the scruff of his neck and he throws his hammer and he stops it. And he was just like, all right. We're just going to wait.
He holds
him in front of him. And he's like, you know, it's not going to stop. And the only person that can stop it is the real Odin or me. And he was just like, here we go. And he takes it. And of course, he immediately changes. Like, all right. And he immediately changes back into Loki. And everybody's like, everybody's shocked. And he's just like, what? Thor, of course, is. And what I liked about this movie, so the entire time in their relationship, it's always been Thor versus Loki. Like, they've never really we've seen that Thor has love for Loki a lot, like, as a brother. A pretty emotional scene at the end of 2 when he thinks that Loki has died.
Yeah, Loki just keeps betraying him
scene later in the movie where Thor and Loki are in an elevator together, and he was just like, you're just going to do what you're going to do. Uh-huh. And, I'm done. Thor kind of says, like, I'm just done. He's like, you're my brother, I love you, but you're you and I'm me, and that's why this is never going to work.
Yeah, this cycle, I'm not buying into it.
Right. And I like that. Like, that was a good little beat between the two of them.
We finally get to see Thor wise up.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't say that this entire series has been gearing up to him becoming Odin.
Right.
But this movie gives him that path. Like, he becomes Odin. Spoilers, he loses an eye in this movie and he looks like Odin, except shorter hair, which I like better. Obviously it's Hemsworth being like, I'm not wearing that stupid wig, just cut my hair,
you just need the weave.
Yeah. Just stop it.
Although him becoming Odin does explain the Silence of the Lambs reboot that Chris Hemsworth
is gonna be in. I'll see that movie.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
So basically he says we got Loki, bring me to Odin, and he's hidden him on Earth.
Right. He's taken away Odin's power, which I didn't think was a thing, but all right. And he's hidden him on Earth. And so they go to Norway. First they go to New York. They're like,
Well, this is great. I mean, another great comedic beat where I left him right here, and it's a nursing home that's being demolished.
Do you know the name? Do you get the name?
Remind me. I don't remember.
It's Shady Acres, which is the funeral or the old folks' home in South Park. That they take.
Oh, that's funny.
The grandpa too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's the same one.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
There's a lot of that in here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little nods
that's
in this.
Good.
They finally show Better A Bill for you know, a half a second. I was like, yeah. Oh, there, damn it. He was gonna be in it.
Oh, really?
He was gonna be in the movie, and they cut him out. They cut it out. I was like, dang. Can you just put him in so that one copy I have can go up?
Yeah,
a
right.
Bit, you know?
So they go,
and then Loki is like whisked away quick. So you see the circle.
Through a Doctor Strange
portal. Yeah, you
portal,
see the circle.
Somebody's sling ringing it.
Yeah, sling ringing it.
Sling ring.
And they leave him a note that gives him the name of the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Thor's holding an umbrella and he pokes it and says, Loki? Like, it's so good.
Well, there's another line where Loki's like, I'm really sorry about that time I turned you into a frog. I marked out.
Oh, no, it's a snake, hilarious.
No, he's like, I'm sorry I turned you into a frog. That's a reference to a comic book where Loki turns Thor into a frog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a frog.
Frog Thor, yeah. I thought you were talking about the story with the snake.
No,
I lost it at that. It was so random. Okay.
So he goes to the Sanctum Sanctorum, and Benedict Cumberbatch shows up. And this is that scene that we got at the end of Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Of him trying to explain where, you know, can you get me to Odin? And he was like,
why did you bring Loki back?
Why did you bring him back? And he was like, well, I kind of need him, and he said he was here. I don't know.
It's a good scene.
Yeah.
It reminded me, because I haven't seen Doctor Strange since it came out on Blu-ray, you know, so it's been a little bit, and it reminded me how much I like him.
He's great. Doctor Strange. I like him a lot.
Well,
I know a lot of
people... get to see, like, his powers have increased substantially.
Better, he's much quicker and faster.
He's he's got the sweet gloves.
He does have those.
But
can I tell you
he's bouncing him around all over the place.
I never thought I would see those gloves. Like, it's one of those comic book costumes that work great on the page,
yeah,
but I didn't know how it was going to work on screen. It worked perfectly. Yeah. Like, it was great.
He's great. Yeah, I love it. I mean, Thor is just, he's in a bookshelf, and he's stumbling, and then he's at a table, he's in a chair.
I feel like that he's about ready to puke, and he was just like, can you stop it? And he was just, so they say, he's like, I can get you there. They bring back Loki. And
he's been falling for 30
minutes. I've been falling for 30 minutes. Yeah. and they, like, Thor starts, I don't know if he's arguing with Loki or Stephen Strange, but Strange is just like, all right, see ya.
Goodbye.
Well, Loki, like, takes out two knives and he's about to attack
him. Oh, yeah,
him,
that's
and he
right.
Sends
that's
him
right.
Off.
And he just, like, pushes him out of the way.
Yeah, off, to Norway.
Off to Norway.
The portal was open and he shoves it across them. It was
I was like, this, which was a new little move.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
So they end up in Norway. They have this sit down with Odin. Now, in the comic books, Odin never technically dies. He goes into what's called the Odin sleep. And that, it,
clever, like, name.
It is. And he just goes away.
We saw that in the first movie.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he, but so it was weird to see him die, because that's what happens. Like, he kind of says, you know, you've put me here, you've taken away my power, it's time for, it's your turn, it's your time. Here's the problem. When I die, your sister's coming back, and it's going to be bad. And they're both just like, are what? So we find out that Hela, played by Cate Blanchett, is Odin's firstborn child, and her and Odin
tore it up,
destroyed, like, ruled everything with an iron fist, and she kind of got a little ahead of the game, and Odin was just like, yeah, let's cut this off here, and banished her.
Do you think when they're sitting around discussing the plots that they're going to use with Odin dying, do you think that they look at each other and they're like, this dude's almost 80?
Yeah.
You know,
like, we should get him out of here.
Like, we should have a version of the story where if he dies in real life, we've already killed him off.
Yeah, probably.
But
yeah,
because of what we do, we can also bring him back if he's still alive when we make four.
And they want to, and I think they want to, like, have an appropriate send off,
right?
And it was a good one. It was a good one.
Like, and also, how much money do you think he gets for those two scenes? Like, the guy's not cheap either.
I mean, maybe, I don't know.
I guarantee you that's like a day or two of filming, and it's probably multi-millions.
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. He might make two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see him in two.
You know, and I also think
a lot for a day.
He still wants to work, you know, and he still wants to be able to, and I think what appealed to him, probably, I mean, other than the money, is the chance to kind of play with the character.
Scene, yeah, sure.
You know,
we're actually watching
with it. Like, this is how you play with it versus the Zack Snyder version of playing with it.
I'm just gonna have some fun, bro.
Having fun with it is this is how
this
we
is
see
how
that
you do it.
Well, yeah, successfully. Having fun isn't usually like killing off characters before you say their name,
before you realize who they are,
before you've casted them.
What a
god! But Hela, man.
Whew. I gotta tell. So
we're seeing like good villains, you know. Between
this is the most. Go ahead.
Well, between Mads and Doctor Strange, which was like, I really enjoyed how they like, he was a villain, but you could empathize.
Yep. Yeah.
And they also,
so
like,
was
he was a
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yes. Yeah. And then Michael Keaton and Spider-Man.
That's what I was going to say. Like,
he was
great.
On a roll with these, because
they were killing their villains off.
Well, you know, and they were also kind of like, you know, getting a little mustache twirly.
Yeah, they're evil because they're evil.
Right.
Like,
right.
They don't really have a motivation except that they're evil.
I feel like the only thing you get away with that was Red Skull. Like the red, like his, that Red Skull.
Oh, right. He's
very,
could
bring, I wish they would bring him back because he's so good.
Look, there are some fine people that support Red Skull.
I'm sure there are.
On both sides.
On both sides, there are fine people that support Red Skull.
No, there's not.
Never.
But I will bet she's fantastic.
So this is the most comic book looking Marvel movie. Like, this is Jack Kirby, Walt Simonson, like, on the screen.
Yeah.
And it was, we said that about Wonder Woman, right? Where, like, Wonder Woman was the most DC Comics movie they've done so far.
Yeah.
I think this is the most 70s Marvel movie they've ever done.
And this is a costume, like, honestly, when you would look at, like,
Arena
you're like, oh, Hela's going to be the villain. And you'd look at the, like, you go back,
you look
and
at her costume.
You're like, no, they're not going to make her look like that.
Oh.
It's like, they totally did.
They make her look like that. Like, when she does the whole little head thing and, like, brings out the gear.
Yeah.
And I was just like, huh, holy shite, they did it.
Well,
like,
you know why they did
insane.
That, too?
No.
So you don't have to animate her hair. Her fighting and moving with the hair strands.
Fine.
Because when she does it, there's no hair show.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm fine with it. Yeah. Like, it looked awesome. So
she looks great. without that.
I thought her thing was going to be part of Ragnarok's horns.
That's
that
what
he stole
I thought
or whatever
too.
That he was.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was all going to be connected, but it wasn't, and it still looked awesome.
Yeah.
Cate Blanchett is hot.
Yeah,
like
it's just now.
Well, like it's one of those things where like she's
put
always
her in all black, and
but she's been like she always plays like a distinguished, like very proper
I feel it
woman
in the water.
But like
also a woman with power can't be attractive to you.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. But like for what? Yeah. In this one, I was just like, "How you doing?"
Yeah.
So
well, you get to see her play against type too, and
that is true. She's very quick.
She's all in on this.
Yeah, and that's so that's the thing. If she's not all in, it doesn't work.
Right.
Like she's all in and she like owns that whole role.
It's okay to be all in now. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I think that they've established that good actors can play in this world and it's okay.
You can be a little goofy if you want to be.
And you also know that the underlying infrastructure is solid enough that you're just not going to be left out on a limb all by yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so
not going to Jim Carrey it.
Or
Nicolas Cage.
That too.
There's a huge difference between like what she's doing or Odin, or you know, there's such a difference between that and Nicolas Cage, who just is just crazy.
But I'm sure if you know, when you start a project like this, going back, you know, almost 10 years at this point, like you really have to trust the director, the studio, the source material, and comic books have always been kind of like the lowest rung of pop culture.
Yeah,
and so
for sure.
So for them to be elevated to the status and then get A-list actors to go ahead and trust that they're not going to look like idiots for doing this. And honestly, this all goes back, I think, to Marlon Brando, right? Like Marlon
Superman?
Yeah. Like Marlon Brando was, that's the first time in a movie like this, a quote unquote kids movie, right? Where a serious legendary actor took a role that
gravitas
on paper, on newsprint, was well beneath him, and he treated it seriously,
which is weird for Brando, right? Like that's like super Brando in 1978 is a
yeah.
Like he is hard.
Brando in 1958 was a dick.
That's true,
but like it's a different kind of dick,
right?
Yeah,
he's hard to work with. He's but he's also
just very difficult.
Yeah,
and he knew he was a legend,
and he's reading it off of cue cards.
Yeah,
yep. That are like strategically placed wherever, so he can just like look around.
But it doesn't matter. Which is funny when like everybody's like, well, Johnny Depp, we heard that they just feed him his lines. It's like, Brando did that forever, and he was amazing.
Right.
Like, it's okay. He didn't have to learn his lines.
Man, I saw him.
He can look at them and read them and make you think, wow, he's really
good.
He's
really good. I saw him on like the Graham Norton show.
Yeah.
He looks like a train wreck. Like, so I don't know.
Johnny
Depp.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's getting sober or if he's fallen farther down the bottle.
I think farther down, because I saw a headline the other, he was on the red carpet and people were just like, he was a nightmare and just reeked of liquor.
I believe it, man.
Yeah,
But I think Brando.
Yeah, that's legit. That's
and,
fine.
And Gene Hackman.
And Gene Hackman.
You know, but I think Brando gave I don't know the story. I'm assuming Gene Hackman probably signed on once he heard Brando.
I think I remember Donner saying, once we got Brando, we were golden.
Yeah.
We got Brando. We had Puzo doing the script.
Right.
Like we had, you know, and then Hackman.
And that might have been
a
part of how they got Brando.
Probably.
Right.
Because
yeah,
he had been, Godfather resurrected his career.
Absolutely.
You know?
And then, of course, Christopher Reeve. But
he wasn't a name.
He was
nobody.
He was a nobody.
He was nobody.
He was
nobody signed on because of Christopher Reeve.
Nope,
they were following the disaster movie template.
Yes.
I see.
Even the poster looks the same. If you look at those disaster movies, they all had the squares at the bottom of like, here's the cast, and you're Towering Inferno, and you're gonna get Steve McQueen and Paul Newman and
Charlton Heston,
and it just goes on and on and on and on.
Right.
It'd just be like, you're gonna get all these people, even though it's a business model that Gary Marshall stole for his last two or three movies,
like the Valentine's
with
Day
Valentine's Day, where here's all these huge celebrities. Each of them are only going to be in this movie for about 20 minutes, but you're going to get them all in one movie, and this
right.
is how, mm-hmm. you know, and so
that's what the Avengers are.
Yeah. But so, I mean, this is something that ultimately I think Hollywood has been working to for a long time, to get these A-list actors to kind of trust and I think these sorts of films.
Marvel has done it. Like,
absolutely.
They brought in Robert Redford and Michael Keaton and like these big.
Well, all the way back to Jeff Bridges. You know, that was a great.
Yeah,
and Mickey Rourke. It was a great understated villain.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the same that killed him off.
It's just funny that Thor has probably the last movie had one of the worst, which is Christopher Eccleston,
which is a shame because that should have worked.
A dark elf.
Yeah,
but it was just like he's not known enough.
You don't think so?
Not enough.
Okay.
I mean, he's known in the nerd community, in the nerd circle.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, like outside of that, it's like, and he was buried underneath the makeup. They built that
character up in the comics to be like a heavyweight.
Because they
were just like, he's in the movie. We can just do this.
So they didn't do that.
No.
This time is they have Cate Blanchett. And it's like, other than changing, you know, maybe some heavier eyeshadow and changing her hair color. It's still her.
It's still Cate Blanchett. And you know it's Cate Blanchett.
Under mounds of like garb or makeup or anything. And it's like,
So the Thor and Loki are on in Norway, and they
inappropriate place,
right?
They call Scourge to lift them.
Their Hela shows up first.
Mm. Yeah,
and so this scene was supposed to take place in New York City originally. Like if you look at the trailer,
yes,
this scene is in New York City.
When
she breaks the hammer, it's all in New York City, and they changed it. I got to tell you, the green screen for Norway, not very good.
No.
It's very bland.
It was super shaky.
There was a scene where they were looking out. I was like, that doesn't look.
It's not all that
it
great.
It just looked like they put fog around
Did you see it in 3D?
No.
Okay, I saw it in 3D and it didn't look great. So I didn't know it was a 3D thing.
I saw it in 2D and it did not look good either. So she pretty much beats the bejesus out of him without blinking an eye.
Awesome moment. I mean, great moment.
Yeah, she broke Mew Mew.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Poor
Meow Meow.
Mjolnir is what it's really called. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that we would see Yarbjorn, which is the axe that Thor uses. We don't. Spoilers.
Saving it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Infinity War.
Dude, if he shows up with that, it's like a giant mystical axe.
Gonna need a new.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah.
So they go through the Bifrost. Hela is behind them, mm-hmm. and she kind of grabs Loki and throws Loki off to the side.
Yeah.
And we don't see him again.
He takes an exit.
He does take an early exit. And then she kind of takes Thor and throws him through the Bifrost as well. She goes to Asgard and we see...
I don't know why the Frost sexuality really is even mentioned. I just thought it was...
It's 2017 time. Got to be inclusive.
Yeah. I don't think you need to bring it up one way or the other.
Yeah. That's fair. I'll talk to the Asgardians and let them know.
Please do.
Fair enough. So she goes... She gets to... Asgard, and we see Scourge, and then she immediately...
And the Warriors 3.
Warriors 2.
Warriors
2.
Well, two of, that's true.
Three.
Do they come out to play?
The Warriors 2 thirds.
Well, barely. So they kill off...
Captain Marvel.
Ray Winstone and Shazam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, can't say that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but... I was like, so we think like a day of work?
No.
He doesn't even have a line.
I think that's like
a day?
Half a day.
Well, but then makeup, so hair,
okay,
hair makeup
enough.
Takes
yeah, okay.
a while.
All right,
they didn't even give Zachary Levi a line. He goes, ugh.
And then he dies.
Oh my God. And again, I really liked him in the second movie. Like I thought his character was cool. I like his portrayal.
Yeah, they expanded it from the first movie. And now, yeah.
Which so was him.
No, it was not. Yeah. It was not Zachary Levi in the first.
He had a conflict, I guess.
Oh,
he was,
I don't know.
He was supposed to be in it, and then he went and did something else, and they got him for two.
Chuck.
But dang.
But
yeah, so they. Yeah. And this is what I said. I was like, they're going to kill everybody. Like, everybody. The one that I thought was weird was Sif wasn't in this.
Right.
Yeah.
She had a conflict.
Okay.
But I think that leaves her
open. She'll be back. Because she's been on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Uh-huh.
So.
She couldn't get away from, is it Blindside?
Yeah.
Okay. She conflicted. So, Taika said that, well, maybe Loki put her away somewhere so she couldn't interfere with the whole, plan of taking over.
I see.
Lots of reasons why.
Yeah,
which,
as long as you don't see her, we can assume she's still alive.
Definitely, yeah.
So she just kind of starts running amok on Ragnarok, on Asgard. She says, the third warrior of the Warriors 3 is there, and he was just like, we'll never kneel to you. And she's like, why does this always have to be so hard?
Does that guy really talk like that?
I don't know. It was a weird choice.
I mean, if he really talks like that, then okay.
Yeah.
But if he chose that, I'm just like, is he being racist? It was an Asian guy,
but it sounded like he was
being racist.
Oh, gotcha.
A little on the broken English side.
Yeah, gotcha. It was very weird. So I don't know. Maybe he talks
but also,
that,
like,
but...
why would there be an Asian guy speaking with an Asian accent on Asgard?
Yeah.
That's a fair question.
It is. So, anyway.
Well, he's from another realm.
No, he's not. He's from Asgard.
Well, yeah, apparently he's from another realm.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
So cool fight scene though with good him and Hela.
And it's weird, like you don't see Cate Blanchett do action beats very often.
Well, you don't in this either. You see computer generated.
That's true.
Cate
Blanchett. Yeah, right. But it was good. Yeah. Like she's taken out everybody. She takes out all of the armies and the warriors three.
She leaves a big pile of bodies.
She does, and she kind of looks at Scourge and she tells him about how I was Odin's executioner and I took it as such an honor to be the executioner. And she's like, and you will be my executioner. And she kind of like, I don't remember if she like stomps or throws something into the roof.
Yeah.
And the mural.
Well, that was earlier. Yeah. Right. Yeah. When they come to the bike cross, she says, well, Odin covers up the real history, truth.
Yeah.
And it's all him and
so like
her
the original,
conquering.
The,
it was fake news.
It was fake news. The mural is like Thor and Loki and like their fights and how everything is peaceful. Well, she throws something in the air and it shatters this mural and it's not nice. And that's the thing is like Odin's not nice.
It's her and Odin killing.
Destroying.
He's also cheap.
I guess.
I mean.
Because he just covered up.
Because he just covered it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. He could have rebuilt it. Yeah. And he's like, oh, just
repurpose it.
Put another coat over that
thing. If we learned anything in this movie, they had a good foundation.
Yeah.
That's true. So Thor wakes up on Sakaar. Which, if you know anything about Sakaar, that is the planet that the Hulk... And so in Planet Hulk, yeah. The way this works is the Illuminati, which is the smartest people of the Marvel Universe, right? So it's Tony Stark, Professor X, Beast, Doctor Strange, Black Bolt, and Submariner. And they say, look, you are too much. Like, you, every time he shows up, meaning the Hulk, it's bad, and it ruins everything. So they trick Hulk to get on this airplane.
They say sun's going down, big guy.
They say we've got the situation on this other planet, and you are the only one that can help it. And he was just like, okay, gets on the airplane. They're just like, by the way, this is a one way trip. You're not coming back. And he lands on Sakaar, and we get the whole he becomes the gladiator, and he ends up actually becoming the king of this planet. But like Meek is there, Krog is there. All of the, those two characters.
Krog's the best part of the movie.
Krog is the best part of the movie, hands down.
Voiced by Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
I have to say, so when they get to Sakaar, that is when I love this movie. So like the first part, I'm not saying it was terrible, but like I was waiting for the 70s in the trailer. You see the 70s picture, whatever, like the words of Thor, the title screen. It looks 70s stylized. You hear the 70s music. You see in the previews all the like neon lights.
I feel like they wasted their musical budget on Immigrant Song.
Yeah.
But they're just like, we can get one song.
But like when they land
a lot, yeah.
But they land on Sakaar and you see all the trash, but it's like multicolored and like it's just the vibe of it, the tone. I loved it when they got there. Like the movie started
on Sakaar
for real.
And if you haven't read Planet Hulk, I cannot recommend that enough. It's probably one of the best Hulk stories written in the last 10 or 15 years.
World War Hulk.
I don't like World War
really?
Hulk. I like Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
The prelude to World War Hulk where he comes back and he's just like, I'm killing all of you. So the deal is like, anyway.
Yeah, so Sakaar.
The ship, in the comic books, the ship blows up and blows up the entire planet and kills his wife and his unborn child. And Hulk is Hulk.
Not happy?
And he's pissed. So he's going back.
Because he was
going
to eat that baby.
He was going to eat that baby.
That's for you, Brad.
That's for you, Brad. That's our gift to you.
So Scrapper number 137, which is the reference to her first appearance. Like that's the 137 is the first time she showed up in a comic.
Nice.
142.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is it Journey into Mystery?
No,
is it Thor?
I don't know, but I know it's Scrapper 142.
Okay, so 142 is her first appearance. And she's like, he's mine, and she's obviously a drunk. Like she is you know.
This is my favorite character. Korg's great, but he's just such a small part. I think she is so good as Valkyrie.
She is great as Valkyrie.
So she was in Westworld. What's her name again?
Tessa
Thompson.
Thompson.
She's in Westworld.
She's in Creed.
Yeah, she's in Creed. Right. She's in Creed, too. I just...
She was great on Westworld.
Yeah, she's great. And I love this character. You know,
is she the corporate...
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She's the guy that comes in and kind of like ends up banging like the scruffy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scruffy robot. That's what it is. That's what happens on that show. Like, I'm not making that.
That's Pedro. No, not Pedro Pascal. It's Game of Thrones. Whatever. Yeah. So
she kind of takes him, and then we go see the Grandmaster, who was another one of my favorite parts of this movie. I love Jeff Goldblum in this movie so much.
Yeah.
I'm torn. I love it, but he's just go just
he but
Jeff Goldblum,
with it,
right?
But they're like
so Christopher Walken is yeah. just
oh, no,
Christopher Walken.
I know. It's, so, it's like, the
we're
same.
Just gonna let him do his
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just you, let you, him go. It's great.
You can tell Jeff Goldblum's part is 100% improvised.
All of it.
Like he just said whatever he thought. Like yeah, they yeah. may have given him a little direction, but you can tell those
I
lines.
I like
are,
to see where he's like, why did you give me the melt stick? Like I didn't want that. It's not melt stick worthy.
I love it. I just
okay Sparkles.
Yeah. Oh, that was I lost it at that too. And
so good.
Yeah, no, and that's what I mean. He is good in it. I'm just like, man, he's just Jeff Goldblum talking like Jeff Goldblum.
The Lord
but it's
of
so...
Thunder. The God of Thunder.
Yeah. Oh, and he has sparkles.
Yeah. So yeah, so he kinda he's basically the Red King from Planet Hulk. Like he's the guy who's in charge of this planet. He has the Contest of Champions, which I thought was a nice little
nod
to the comic book. Which was a comic. The Contest of Champions was a comic. And
I got that from when you said it was a nice nod to the comic
okay.
book.
Well,
but,
I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
You know, I know you haven't read Kingdom Come yet, so. But did you read Kingdom Come?
Yeah, I think I finished that a long time
perfect,
ago.
Perfect, good.
Yeah.
So they kind of, he's like, this is where Thor is thrown into the arena. And he's like, if you can beat my champion, you'll gain your freedom. And everybody, and we, obviously from the trailers, we know who the champion is.
Yeah.
And this is actually a nice little thing where they go up this tower and you see all the heads of the champions. So on the heads, you see Man-Thing is there. Ares, the god of war, is there.
Giant, do you see a giant-sized Man-Thing?
No, thank God.
have you heard that story?
No.
So there was, they said Marvel used to put these comics that were called
Giants. They were annuals.
They were called Giant, you know. They're giant size, so they'd be like giant size Thor, and you'd get like seven Thor stories, and a lot of it were reprints.
Yeah,
right?
Reprints.
Yeah.
Of, yeah,
but it was like, but it was a good way as a kid to like, oh, I know for you know $1.50, these might be old, but I don't have them, and I can get seven issues of a comic book for a dollar or whatever. And so they were doing all the you know giant size Fantastic Four, giant size Spider Man, and then they got to Man Thing.
What they call it?
Giant size Man.
I was like,
and it got published, and then people. People were like, you know, that could be read another way. And last I checked, it was like a $75 or $100 comic book.
Still
they pulled it. They pulled it.
Yeah.
I might have it. I'll have to check.
I would check.
You have a giant size man thing?
I do.
Good for you.
Well, when I said it took a lot of blood, you shook a rock at me. And now you're over there bragging about having a giant size man thing.
I'm just saying.
Well, he has to check, but he's pretty sure.
There is a double standard at play.
Yeah, the problem is I have to confirm.
Yeah,
so.
He has to check.
He's texting his wife right
now. Hey, let me ask you a question real quick. Boop, boop, boop. Hey, look at this, will you?
Are we so old that our cell phones go boop, 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 boop?
Yeah, that's what mine
does. Is that what you think of us?
Yes. You have rotary cell phones, don't you?
Yeah.
Is that not?
We do.
So, yeah. So
I mentioned Korg.
We have the antenna that we pull out.
So also on the building is Better Ray Bill, who is a great character. Like, it's a great character design. Walt Simonson did that. It's good stuff. Get him in a gosh dang movie so I can sell that book.
Was he dead now?
Who?
Beta Ray Bill.
They never kill him.
Oh, okay.
You never know.
Yeah.
We assume that, you know, on this thing, they're all still alive. But
okay.
And we also met some other contenders.
We did. Oh, that's Paul.
Doug.
He's dead.
He's dead.
That's fine. All right. But yeah, so we
goodbye, new Doug.
And that was, what's his name?
Goodbye, new Doug.
The,
Meek.
Another day, another Doug.
Well, Taika Waititi voiced Korg.
Yeah, that was, and he was in, what do you call it? A mocap suit.
He did all
mocap for him.
Yeah.
So what?
But you're made of rocks. Yeah, perishable rocks.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, every line of the Korg.
Oh, there goes one.
Yeah, every line of the Korg interaction is just hilarious.
So when you see that character in the books, you have a certain voice in your head for what he sounds like. And then when
and
he's like,
it.
No, that was not it. It was I compare it to when, Vincent D'Onofrio did the voice of the big guy in The Magnificent Seven.
Oh, that was
and you're
great.
Just like,
yeah.
That was not what I expected out of that voice.
And which was a great choice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he kills it as Korg.
Yeah.
Like,
he is
the best part, like one of the best parts of this movie.
Absolutely.
So he's explaining the rules and everything, and of course Thor is just like whatever. Like he's so now he's got short hair. Thor, he's got the war paint on.
Oh well, how'd he get short hair?
Because Stanley cut his hair. He's like, can you not cut my hair?
And do not cut my hair, old man. Yeah. And then he opens up this like,
please don't cut my hair. Yeah. Please don't cut my hair. He's like, my eyes aren't as what they used to be. Yeah,
that was, I think, one of the funniest Stan Lees, just because the weapon or the cutter turns into this like gigantic shaving device. Yeah, it's good.
So he gets in the arena, and of course. after he's been picked up by the by Valkyrie, we see Loki has already schmoozed his way to the top.
For 2 weeks,
of
he's course, been there.
But Loki does. Yeah. And he's just like, it's my brother. And he was just like, I'm not your brother. Like, oh, no. So
Jeff Goldblum says, do you two know each other? And he goes, never seen him before. Yeah. Thor says, he's my brother. And he goes, adopted.
Adopted. Yeah. Which is a nice little callback.
Yeah.
So we go into the arena and Thor is ready to rock and roll. Like he's got
Ragnarok.
Yeah, Ragnarok.
I mean, if you're going to.
And then, of course, this is the scene where Hulk comes out and he was just like, yeah.
And Loki does not have the same.
No. No. And I do like where. So Thor grabs or Hulk grabs Thor by the leg and is swinging him around from side to side. And Loki's like, that's. How do you like it? And I was like, that's a nice callback. Feels. That's a great callback.
When I saw
to
it,
Avengers 1.
When I saw it for the first time and he did that to him, I'm like, oh, Loki better say something.
That was a great little.
Yeah.
And they have a pretty good fight. And Thor is going to lose. And he taps into a power we haven't seen yet, which is basically the God of Thunder. Like, that's what that is. And he knocks Hulk out in a single punch.
That's cool.
Well, but he also attempts to do
the
Black Widow thing, which I liked seeing because it's like, oh, that's the second time they like kind of, and they don't make fun of the Whedon verse, but it's sort of like in hindsight, it's like it was a bit overdone.
Yeah.
It's
so
like,
it's fun
like,
to see them kind of mocking it a little
like
bit.
It's like your buddies
hey,
making
big guy.
Fun of you.
Hey, big guy. Right.
Grabs the hand.
Yeah, and it almost, and you're thinking, big guy. And like, I was like, please don't work. Like, and it
that
doesn't.
Was great.
Of course it doesn't. Like Hulk.
Which makes it better.
Yes.
It was a great fight scene, though. I mean, with him,
good.
When he hits him, he takes Hulk's big hammer that he has, and he hits Hulk, and he goes, like, against the wall and destroys the wall,
so
and everyone shuts up real quick. Like,
yeah.
It's a good
But he's also, he's not just swinging, like, he's hitting him in the leg to take his legs out, and he's weakening him to make it, you know, whatever, stronger.
You know, in a lot of ways, this is a road movie.
It is a road. It's a road.
Absolutely.
It's a buddy road movie.
Yeah. It's Road to Morocco.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially, like, you know, and now it's insensitive by today's standards, but you know, those movies, they were always, you know, captured by natives and they had to fight their way out. But it's so much of a road movie. Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
Which
in this or the other one?
This one.
Where they're sitting there talking?
No. Where he says, let's do get help.
Oh, yes.
Is that from a movie?
Okay. So in the road movies, in the first road movie, they did this, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby did this thing where they have these two big, huge guys that were about to take them in, and they're like, let's play. They're like, oh, and they start playing patty cake, and they're like, patty, and they're like, the both of them just sitting there looking at them like, what are they doing? And then when they get to the end, they both turn around and punch out the guys, right?
Okay.
And so, like, it's a really funny scene. I'm sure seeing it in 1940, like, the people were probably like, yeah, you know.
And they used that.
So then it becomes a running gag, and they do it in every movie, but the joke becomes it never works again.
Oh,
it
right.
never once works. And so at like every time they try it moving forward, they always end up getting their butts handed.
It's like Ric Flair running up the turnbuckle.
Yeah,
sure.
Never,
that's it.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Never, sure.
I know what those words mean, but not in that order.
Yeah.
And, and so like when they're doing get help and I'm like, well, this is just patty cake from the road movies.
That's
like,
funny.
That's the thing. I think we see so much of that influence now. Because these are directors that love those movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably grew up on that stuff.
Well, and I think the road movies were, I mean, some of the first mainstream Hollywood movies to break the fourth wall.
Oh, yeah.
And to just look at you and literally wink.
That's funny.
You know, and these movies don't go quite. The road movies would just flat out tell you, we're making a movie right now.
Right.
Like, they would reference the screenplay. And they would, like.
I think sometimes you would see, like, the set. I mean, there was always, like, some sort of,
like, they were very tongue-in-cheek.
I like they kind of use that device in the beginning. You think Thor's talking to you, but he's talking to the skeleton and the jaw falls off. Like, I like how they played with that, because he was clearly trying to talk to us, but, you know, didn't.
There might even be a road movie where they do something like that, where like they're trapped in a prison and they're talking to a skeleton. I mean, that's a pretty old joke. I mean, you've seen it. They didn't invent that, but it happens a lot. But anyway, this really follows
and it really
the beats
is,
of a road
it
movie.
Very much does.
Yeah,
and I'm cool with it.
Absolutely,
like, it's another genre that Marvel's like, what else can we do?
It's just a funny one because where Thor started with the first movie, you wouldn't have seen this being you wouldn't have watched the first movie and think, you don't buy the third one. It's gonna be hilarious.
It's gonna be a wacky.
That's
road
that's
movie.
The only thing that, like, if you think about it too much, it does kind of take me out of it, because the character of Thor in a short amount of time has come from a fish out of water and being very serious to he is just like jokey joke in this movie. Like, no, he just couldn't possibly get to where he is here in that short of amount of time. But,
well,
I mean,
you think chronologically, that first Thor movie was what, 2008?
Yeah, it's
so
just,
we're 10 years away from that.
But even from Dark World, it's just the way the character is portrayed. Like, it's just he's so much more jovial and, you know, but anyway, it's just a small complaint where I'm just like, man, they really changed the character, but it totally works for this movie.
They but they started to do that, I think, by the second Avengers.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron.
Like, lean towards the humor a little bit.
Make him a little more adapted to
his
surroundings.
What did they do in the first Avengers? Like, I mean, Tony's like, hey, Point Break. Like,
well, yeah. But, I mean, like, with the, you know, when like when they're playing with the hammer and stuff like that. Some of the smaller moments of Age of Ultron actually are, in hindsight, kind of the better ones. Because
can we take bets right now that Captain America picks up the hammer in Thor 3, or in Avengers 3?
Wow, wishful thinking.
Oh, he's gonna do it.
But I mean, like we saw, like that, like we saw Thor kind of loosening. We saw him like in his street garb.
Yeah,
that's true.
And,
that's true.
You know what I mean? So it's like we saw, like we saw them leaning that way. It's just kind of.
And I also think it's 10 years. Like 10 years has gone by from one to here. So his character could have changed.
Yeah.
So let's see.
So
Hulk. So he wakes up in Hulk's boudoir, and Hulk is like, he comes to Hulk in
talkie mold,
sort of.
Thor doesn't have a shirt on for a couple minutes,
of course not,
because he had to work out for 6 months.
Well, I said that I remember
actually obligated
Hemsworth saying that, like, I'm not gonna work out as hard as I did for one and two, or for Avengers and for one and two.
That's the beauty of a multi-picture deal.
I'm
already locked in.
And then he takes his shirt off. You're like, what do you mean you're not going to work out? What is wrong with
you? They at least gave him screen time for it. I'm like Affleck.
I think he looks svelter.
I think he's smaller, but
I think he's smaller, but cutter.
But he also looked, he may be thinner.
Yeah.
But
I think he looked more cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then
he's not as bulky.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to see, you know, what's his name? Chris Evans is going to put these guys to shame when he shows up in Captain America and he, you know, decides
Rob Layfield style?
I hope not. No feet.
Yeah.
No feet, giant boots.
He's having his ankle shaved down as he speaks.
But I always go back to that scene in, is it Avengers 2 or Cap 3? When he grabs it's Cap 2. When he grabs half of the launching pad and the helicopter. And I'm just like, are you wearing a muscle suit? Because that's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that's not physically possible.
Yeah.
So
Hulk comes out of the
Hulk
hot
comes
tub.
Out of the hot tub, and Thor's just like, "All right, I could have done that. Without that. That's great."
You could see some Hulk butt.
Hulk butt, which was weird and funny at the same time. So there's always been different.
If Hulk butt upsets you, don't go see Watchmen.
Oh yeah.
True.
If you don't like green butt, you're not gonna like what you see in Watchmen. I'll tell you that.
Wiener.
I saw them open for the Dead Kennedys back in the day.
Yeah, they were good. It was a good little band.
It kind of fell apart after that third album.
Yeah, they had trouble, hard time keeping it up.
It's tough.
Thor basically just tries to reason with
But
Hulk.
Also, there's always been three different versions of the Hulk, like in comics, right? So you've got the Green Hulk, who's the mindless one. You've got Mr. Fix-It, who's the gray one with the attitude. And then you have, there's a combination of the Gray Hulk, the Green Hulk, and Banner. So, like, he had the brain of Banner, the power and strength of the Green Hulk, and kind of the attitude of the Gray Hulk. Then there's World War Hulk, who is just basically Conan. Like, he speaks normally, and he has a normal, like, cadence, but he's Conan. Like, there's no other way to describe what that character was. This is kind of a mix of Rage Hulk and Mr. Fix-It. Or, I guess, Barbarian Hulk, I guess. So he has, like, the stunted, and I could do without the talky Hulk. Like, I kind of want Hulk smash.
Do you think he really talks that way? Do you think that was a choice? I found it a little offensive.
the baby speak?
Yeah, I mean, do you think, I mean, not all Hulks talk like that.
I guess, or She-Hulk. She's the character I'm surprised we haven't seen her yet.
I think they had to, I mean, they had started to go that way.
They
I think it was necessary because.
I agree that it was.
It just would have really been boring.
Yeah.
As just, you know.
Just have Jason Momoa voice it.
No,
so I'm going to tell you right now, I'm worried that this whole episode sounds like that.
Oh, no. That's the audio going from the computer to our headphones. That's not the recording device. It's USB. It's different. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out when Dan's but no, audio I track is completely gone.
I think it's... yeah, I mean, it was a... I think they needed to have that, or else it just...
You couldn't have the quote-unquote dumb Hulk.
Well, they've figured out how to make Hulk... Like, they've got Hulk right.
Yeah.
Like, when Avengers came out, we were like, yeah, they finally did him justice.
Yeah.
And then the second one, I mean, you know, there's
the
a
same
lot of
character,
things.
And he kind
of
goes gray in that yeah. one, like when he's
but,
possessed
but
by
they,
Ultron.
You know, but they brought in a lot more of Ruffalo.
Yes.
You know, like Banner as a character is a lot more interesting because,
I would
you know,
agree.
I
yeah.
think they've made,
you
know,
you have to
and
have
a lot of
that
that's Mark Ruffalo. Like I didn't care about Eric Bana, and I didn't care about Ed Norton.
I liked Ed Norton. But...
Yeah, but I mean, like, as you really want them to be the Hulk. This
yes.
one, it's like, I'm okay when I just see Mark Ruffalo.
I didn't yeah. like Banner in this movie.
Really?
I thought it was weird.
But it was supposed to be weird, right? So he's been the Hulk for 3 years.
Yeah.
He hasn't been
so
Banner
he's out
in
of
3 years.
Yeah,
yeah
I guess so.
It.
I just, for some reason, I just thought the portrayal of Banner was just a little right. odd. But
so anyway, maybe. So... Valkyrie shows up and Thor realizes who she is. Like they get into a fist fight and he grabs her by the arm and he sees a tattoo on her arm and he was just like, we're the
Guardian.
Same. Like you're his
so
Guardian. We're Valkyries.
What's the origin of that character? Like, because she's a Valkyrie,
no
but she's named Valkyrie. Are all the Valkyries named Valkyrie?
I thought it was like she kind of takes that name because it's
she
like
takes that name
because
it's like
the last one or one of the last.
I don't know
ones,
what her
right?
real name is, but yeah. I think that's what it is.
Okay,
like
that's what I'm wondering.
The Valkyries.
Yeah, I just was wondering because I'm like, well, that's kind of on the nose if she's called Valkyrie and she was one of the Valkyries.
No,
like,
I think she
yeah,
takes the name
took
as
on.
Like a nod,
an homage.
So
even though she wants to, well, in this movie
she's
she
not.
To,
she's
yeah.
a, they don't call he calls her Valkyrie. She
right, right, right.
Herself that.
Yeah.
So he decides, where's the Quinjet? Like, where's the Quinjet that got you here? And he was like, there it is. So a great scene where
love
Thor picks up a, like a ball or like a vase.
He gives a nice, yeah, he gives a nice little like mini speech.
He does.
Soliloquy about why he's leaving and could be a hero and he's not running from his past.
Right. And he smashes it and it breaks. And of course, hits him in the face.
Yeah.
And then he has to, he's like, all right, we're good. And yeah, then he goes back. And so they get into the Quinjet and then...
Well, he gets to it, and he tries to turn it on.
Yeah, so he's like, the strongest Avenger, access denied. Thor, access denied. Odin's son, access denied. Point Break, access granted, and it pops on. So Hulk starts to, like, he shows up, and he starts to, like, he's going, he's in, like, Hulk's with him, but he starts destroying the Quinjet because he's so big.
Well, no, at this point, Hulk, they've just kind of reasoned with each other, and Hulk is like the ruler of the, you know,
he's
gladiator,
the greatest, yeah.
And like he doesn't want to leave, but he's chasing after Thor, and he goes, "Friend, Hulk's friend, not leave."
Oh,
so,
okay,
so he doesn't want him to leave this planet, but Hulk wants to stay. But he ends up
just wrecking
everything.
The thing.
Yeah.
And he turns on the Black Widow message from the Avengers too.
Hey, big guy.
Not even that. Where
down.
She was? No, it's not that. Like she was just like, "All right,
end.
We got you. Yeah. Like you could turn that thing around
oh,
now."
Yeah, okay,
and blah,
gotcha.
Blah. And of course, this that's triggers right. him to turn back into Banner. And Banner's just like, where am I? What's going on? He's just like, did we beat Ultron? And Thor's like, that was 3 years ago. Yeah. And he has to explain that he's now on Sakaar and he's this great champion. And Banner wants nothing to do with it. He's like, just get us out of here.
The Hulk CG is great. This is the best looking, like,
he Hulk. Looked good. He looked good in Avengers.
Yeah.
And he looked good in... Avengers 2. Which
I think this
is
the most
even,
detailed.
I think
like,
this is.
It really,
well, it's
yeah.
also they've cleaned him up, right? So he had like the shaggy Lou Ferrigno hair and the purple pants, and now they've given him like a sleek haircut and a nose job, and they fixed him up a little yeah. bit, so he looks
more like Mark Ruffalo.
He does yeah. look more.
It
like
It looks
Mark
like
Ruffalo.
Ruffalo's face, but it also just blends in with the real world
yeah.
really well.
Yeah.
It's good CG.
So then there's the race. So the Grandmaster's pissed that
the champion's gone.
So they put a bounty on. Thor, the Lord of Thunder, that they keep referring to him as the Lord of Thunder. And after the speech, Valkyrie realizes, all right, like this is legit. And they've got a great fights, you know, flight sequence and all this other stuff where they're trying to get to the Devil's Anus, which is this portal that will get them back to where they need to be. And it's all like.
They use Loki.
Loki. Yeah, they use again. Loki. Right. They find Loki, and this is the way that they do the, you know, let's do get help. This mm-hmm. is where that speech that I talked about earlier. Of course he knows that Loki's going to turn on him.
Yeah.
He knows for sure. I'm trying to think of what he does where Loki, it doesn't work. Like Loki tries to do something.
Well, he splits off and then they're talking.
Yeah. Loki does his little like diversion where he separates, but at that point, Thor has already put the little tracker thing on
his
back.
That's right. That's right.
And he turns and he sees him over the ship and he's like, I knew you were going to betray me.
He's like, yeah.
You were just different. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You'll always be the god of mischief. Or,
right. That's what he said. The god of. And so he shocks him and just leaves it on. And he gets the ship and they take off and they pick up Valkyrie and Banner. And this is where we find. So Kurg has been talking about this revolution and finally, like, the revolution has begun and Kurg finds Loki. And he was just like, you want to come with us? Like, you want to get on the ship? And they turn the thing off and they get on the ship and they start to leave.
Loki says, looks like you're in desperate need of leadership. Yeah. And Korg goes, oh, thank you. Yeah. It's just like, so good.
The best line for Korg is just like, and we've got Korg. And Miki's like, no, he's dead.
Yeah. Well, that's the very end of the movie.
He's like, I stepped on him and killed him. And then he wakes up, he's like, he's alive. It's a miracle.
Yeah. So great.
So Meek becomes a bad guy in the comics.
Oh my
god. Like a hardcore bad guy.
I like how Meek's in the background, like even in the very beginning when you see him with swords and he's just like training in the back. Yeah. Like it's just very funny to watch that character.
So then they get back to Asgard.
Well, this is a great action sequence.
This is really,
I love the ship chase.
Yeah, it's very good.
The ship chase where Thor and Valkyrie are like jumping from ship to ship.
Yeah.
And I think it's my favorite action
sequence in the movie. It's a very well put together. For a guy that I feel like doesn't do action. But I guess he's not doing this. He's not directing this.
He got the right guys to assist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. It looks perfect.
Yeah.
Like it's very great. So they get to the Devil's Anus and they get through and they get to the Bifrost. I guess we should say this whole time Heimdall is shown back up. Like,
yeah.
He takes the sword. They can't open the Bifrost without the sword, and he's kind of helping the wayward Asgardians out of Asgard into like this
refugees.
Correct.
Right. He's outcast Heimdall.
Yeah. And he got a pretty good pop. Like when he takes the cloak off and you see Idris Elba, and I was like, oh yeah.
And he talks in this movie.
He does talk in this movie.
Heimdall is very stoic though, and like it's interesting. Again, they changed the character to fit with this movie. This movie is fine. I mean, it works fine.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to see the shift of Heimdall is just very serious and says a few words. And this one, he's like, guys, sorry about that. Whenever, like, I mean, it's just like, it's good. Idris Elba's great. Nice to see him in a good movie.
At least this movie's going to make money.
Yeah.
Like, that's exciting.
And I think, like, the deployment of using Brenna on the first movie and the sort of elevated Shakespearean language. Mm-hmm. Was a good way to get people to buy into the whole Thor thing because I remember before Thor came out, I was like, well, we'll see if they can pull that off, you know? And it's like, so they were able to do it. But now that like people are like, everybody's cool with Thor.
Right.
They're like, okay, we don't have to keep doing that.
Yeah. Right.
Because now it would just kind of be like.
They can let that slide a little bit.
Well, yeah, it would be a little jarring.
It would be tiresome too.
It would be tiresome. It would be, yeah.
See, I mean, thank God they don't do the Thor speak.
Right.
Reading it is one thing. Like it's okay, here we go.
Like, I don't even like to read it.
I'm not a huge fan of it, but Jason Aaron does a very good job of it. So did Walt Simonson.
Yeah.
And this one. It's there.
It would have been exhausting.
It's there.
It's enough
to remind you it's a thing.
It is true. The comic book. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Seems like you tend to see it more in the ancillary characters, not in Thor himself.
Right.
Which would make sense though, because
he's off world a lot.
Because
he's on Midgard.
He likes to be on Midgard. Kind of adopted the accent like Madonna.
Madonna. So your champions land. And the scene you get in the trailer, you don't get in this. Like, you don't get the Thor, Valkyrie, Loki team up. Like, that's not in it. That doesn't happen.
Do they do, like, a circle camera shot? Like,
No, they don't do anything. No. Like, you see Hulk, and I think you might see the three of them. You might see them, like, walking, and then Thor's like, you go get this. Mm-hmm. Valkyrie and I
the
will
Revengers.
Take on this. The Revengers, which I thought was great.
Oh,
like,
that was really
hilarious.
Great.
Yeah. The Revengers.
That was totally improv by Ruffalo, too. I could tell. I loved it. Well,
it's so weird because
the Revengers.
The Revengers are a
thing. Are you in? Undecided.
Yeah.
Like, I just, oh my gosh. A lot of those improv things work
but,
so well.
Ruffalo has all, they've also said that if he turns into the Hulk again,
he may never come back.
They decide, like, they're flying over, and he was just like, well, all right.
Yeah.
And he shows up as the Hulk.
And see, this is where, like, the third time where they. This was the trope that I really liked because
it
was like, what do you like? I have to do this. So he like pulls himself, you know.
He endangers
himself by like falling out backwards.
Right.
And it's like, well, we saw it work well
in the second Avengers too.
But
well, because Valkyrie's also like, who is this guy?
Yeah, he's like you, I know you. I
yeah.
know you.
Yeah, because yeah, they were friends. They trained.
Right.
And I think he says something like, you're about to see who I am or yeah. something.
And it's very dramatic. And so yeah. he falls out backwards. It's like, well, we've seen this yeah. with Black Widow because she's like, I need the other guy. So to see it completely
not work.
Turned on its head and he just drops unceremoniously. On,
thud.
Yeah. It is like a ping.
Yeah, and then he doesn't move. And then
they
so
just
like
leave him there.
You've got Hela's giant wolf coming
just
at them.
Just
kind of
look
him.
At him
yeah.
like, ugh.
And then and
keep going.
And then it stops, obviously.
Fantastic.
And then starts pulling him back, and then you see the Hulk has shown up.
Yeah. But it's like the third time that we see something that like could have been considered, you know, kind of yeah. a sacred, like, Whedon-esque moment. And
yeah.
they're like, nah.
We'll honor great. It a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll turn it on its head.
I have to think that's Taika. I think he watched these movies and he found all these cliche or have become cliche,
yes.
you know, even though Whedon just invented them 10 years ago or whatever. But,
right.
like, you know, they become these moments. And I think he just picked them apart. And that's what he does.
Yeah,
he's a comedian. It's satire.
A smart move.
And it is good.
So there's a
but
big.
It's very hard to satirize comedy.
That's
like
true.
That,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
yeah.
the thing. Like,
yeah.
it's, you know, it's hard to do a parody of something that's already funny.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So there's a big battle on the Bifrost, on the Rainbow Bridge, and the Asgardians are losing. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Korg and Meek and like their whole team are trying to fight back. So this is where Thor says to Loki, he's like, "You're useless to me down here." Like, Surtur said he was Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
The only way we're going to be able to defeat her is if we destroy Asgard, and we have the key to destroy Asgard in the vault.
So it's kind of one of those like head fakes. Like Thor thought by defeating Surtur, he was
preventing Ragnarok,
but he causes Ragnarok.
Right.
So it's yeah.
So we should say that earlier in the movie, Hela goes down into the vault, and we see she's like, you know, half of this crap is fake. And we find out that the Infinity Gauntlets down there is fake. She's like, fake.
So what is that? I thought it was funny, but what does it have to do with? Why?
So if you
because
look at if you, at the end
the
of
Infinity
Avengers
Gauntlet,
2, it's gone.
Thanos
takes it.
Gloving up.
Oh, okay.
So
and
the one
like,
that,
well, how
why would it be there? Got it.
So Odin had a fake
maybe there
one.
There were two gauntlets.
No, that's what, that was the original
hand.
Idea.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
just two hands.
One
yeah,
of them was fake.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the one that Odin has
got
is,
it.
Is right. fake.
That was what, fake.
Because that's always been like, people are like, well, why is he wearing it if, you know. It's,
right. It's on the other hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we know.
So then we also see the
Tesseract,
which apparently there was leaked footage from D23 of Loki handing the Tesseract to Thanos.
Mm.
So we have to believe that Loki, obviously, as soon as Loki looks,
get it
Loki looked at him, was like, yeah, I'm taking that. Like, that's mine now. And he shows back up and he throws the skull of Surtur into the eternal flame and brings Surtur to Asgard. And they're this entire time, they're trying to get all these Asgardians onto this
super ship.
And so they get them all on there. Surtur wipes out Asgard, kills everybody. The Asgardians get off of Thor has been cut in the face and loses an eye. In the Jason Aaron Thor book, you see Thor in three different ages. So you see the unworthy Thor, who's the young man who hasn't gotten Mjolnir yet. Current day Thor, and then old man Thor, who is missing an arm. Like he had, you remember the Destroyer from the first movie, the big metal monster that he has to fight.
Oh, okay.
So he gets his arm cut off and he has a Destroyer arm.
And he shoots arrows.
He does not shoot arrows.
Oh.
He's got an eye patch and he is Odin basically. And I think he hasn't lost an arm yet, but I think that's where we're going.
Well, it's confirmed
character.
That he doesn't have the eye in the, next in the Avengers.
Oh really?
They're keeping it,
which is fine. Like, I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
Like, I like the look of it. So Surtur destroys Asgard. They get
Hela,
maybe.
Presumably.
So
maybe.
This is what I'm saying.
Presumably, yeah.
She's the goddess of death, right?
Yeah.
Who is Thanos always trying to court?
Oh, you think they're going to team up?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh. I also think it's wise to not like have a confirmed kill on
right.
her
yeah.
because she's a good character.
She's a very good villain.
Never Loki
a,
way more than yeah. I honestly I was like, oh, Loki again.
Every movie, yeah.
But it's like we can do with
they
her.
Dialed him back a little bit. In this
yeah,
movie,
they've,
though.
They've fixed.
At
yeah,
this point, you
a couple
have
times
to,
where it's like, come on,
he's so good. Though.
You have to have Tom Hiddleston. Yeah. People love him.
He could be James Bond.
But I also like that they, you know, in this process where he does become the God of Thunder, he's having
good.
Like he's seeing Odin, and Odin even says, "Well, you're not the God of Hammers."
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. That was a great line. And I will say, there's a beautiful scene where we get the origin of Valkyrie and like
oh,
the
I
original
love
fight
it so much.
Like that kicked so much ass. Mm-hmm. Like just the yeah. way it like so you see all these Valkyries on horses
Pegasus.
Fly Pegasus. Is that what they are? I thought Pegasus had a horn.
Well, flying horses are no, unicorns have a horn.
No.
Flying Pegasus horses are Pegasus.
Okay.
Oh, I just thought unicorns were happy to see me.
No?
There he is.
Well, they are, but these are still Pegasus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's super CG. Like, it's very 300-ish looking. It's comic
very
book,
beautiful looking.
Comic book page.
It's...
So that was a great scene. So
Tessa Thompson's so badass in this role.
She
I
is.
Just have to say, like, Valkyrie has become one of my favorite
So Marvel, where DC has one,
yeah.
Marvel's got Black Widow. They've got... Valkyrie, they're gonna have
Gamora.
Captain Marvel. They're gonna have they have Gamora. Mm-hmm. They've got Maria Hill,
She-Hulk,
maybe. Like that's a yeah. a great character. Like Jen Walters is a great yeah. character. They could have Jessica Drew. They've got Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones, yeah.
You know they've
yeah,
got all they've these. Got, yeah. They've got a bunch of strong female characters that are fudge and awesome. Hopefully, we'll see Jessica. Mm, Jessica Drew is my favorite.
Yeah,
like I love Jessica Drew.
Okay, would you just take that because I'm like, you just careful where you
just like fudge.
Well, I do I too.
Give me the side eye region from Morocco.
I just
like
fudge.
The taste of fudge.
Dark. I do too.
Dark, why are you so skeptical?
Do you like nuts in your fudge?
Do you like dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
And we're done.
Wasn't so, me. I was just saying that I like fudge.
I do too.
Christmas is just around the corner.
Have you packed your fudge for Christmas
yet? See what you did?
I know.
Yeah.
I did none of this. I just said that fudge tastes delicious.
So this is the
end.
You
two took it into the gutter.
That is the end of the movie. I assumed they were going to go back to Norway and set up new
first,
Asgard.
You know, Asgard might be okay because there's some good foundation
yeah,
there.
Oh, man. What a great line. Is that Meek? Is that Korg again? He's
yeah.
like, no, it's all right.
It's
all right.
You got a good foundation.
And then it blows up. And he's like, oh,
no,
never mind.
No, that foundation's right. gone.
Oh. And this is where you get the Meek line. He's like, oh, Meek. He's like, yeah, he's dead.
Well, because Thor goes, because they're trying to find a new Asgard. And then he's like, Meek, where are you from? And
he's
Korg
like,
goes,
no, I've
been carrying him. I stepped on him back
yeah.
on the bridge.
No, he's dead. Yeah. yeah.
And then he wakes up and goes, oh, Meek, you're alive. And he goes, where are you from? Or something like that.
Yeah,
it's great.
So I thought they would go back to Norway and set up new Asgard on Norway. In Norway, just kind of to bring everything together.
The Norse mythology.
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
And then there's a giant ship that comes. Like, so this ship is fairly large. We think it's fairly large. And then a much bigger ship stops them. And then the line is like, you know, we're going to be all right. It's going to be fine. What's the worst that could happen? And then there's this ship behind
massive
them.
Ship.
So apparently, there's in more of that leaked footage is Thor...
drifting
crashing,
in space.
Crashing into the Milano.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
it's all going to like...
Well, although, that ship is Thanos' ship.
It has to
but
be,
in,
yeah.
in
it's
that
confirmed.
Scene, he has both eyes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I think that's because they didn't want people... they didn't want to tip the
sure.
end of this
to
movie.
To figure it out. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But it's been confirmed. So in the comics, he has another version of that floating space station, so to speak.
Okay.
And this is like the second version.
The cosmic universe is a, like... I'm still catching up. Like, yeah. I thought that was dumb when it was coming out. I was like, I'm not reading that. And then I was just like, I probably should have read that. That was really good. I made a mistake.
They're using it a lot.
Yeah. A lot
it's
of
a,
the
it's a good way to
landing.
Sort of like, it's the it helps them make the connective tissue they need to tie
get
movies
together.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's how it ends. Wormholes.
It's all wormholes.
All wormholes.
It's all ball bearings.
I think it was really good. Like, I thought, these people who are saying it's the best Marvel movie ever, I'm just like, you need to go back and rewatch Cap 2.
I think
like,
it was serviceable. I don't think
one.
It's the best. It's serviceable. It's fun.
I would put it in the top.
It's
7.
It's fun.
It's fun.
And they did a good job of like making for a Thor movie. They're like, it's like they can. After this, it's like yeah, they could keep making Thor movies if they wanted.
Yeah, they could do it. It's completely different.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's like it's a road movie, and if they want to make another one,
I'm okay with that.
And I like the Hulk.
I think
Thor
the reason
team.
This franchise is working, and I don't mean Thor, I mean Marvel. Is because they keep putting a new lacquer on top. Like, it's not...
What genres are left?
Well, we've got... Okay, so we've got Black Panther, which they clearly... it's like we're seeing that. It's like that one actually looks the most... I don't want to say... It definitely feels grittier.
Yep.
And, but it feels like a very whole complete world that I'm kind of looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, when
and
you
it
see
feels different.
When you see Wakanda and it's all like futuristic and everything, it's awesome.
Yeah, it feels
it's
a
so
lot
different.
Different. Yeah. And then I think for what they're doing with Ant-Man and Wasp, which is to me just feels like a big episode of Heart to Heart.
We
don't have a rom-com.
We don't have a rom-com.
And I think it's going to be if they're smart, they're going in that direction with those two because it's like. It's Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yeah.
So Wasp
and we already know
has
that
to be
we know
a
they're a
couple
part. At the end of that at the end of Ant-Man.
Right.
Well, I wonder if Black Panther there's a kind of a rising movement in sci-fi called Afrofuturism and I
oh,
wonder
really?
Yeah, and I wonder if that's kind of where Black Panther is going to where it's kind of like it's almost like black steampunk in that it has this footing in kind of old school African you know history and culture. But at the same time, it's sci-fi and futuristic.
Yeah. It's culturally rich.
Right.
But it's definitely future.
You know what we haven't had? A horror movie.
I don't think Marvel's going to make a horror film.
They have Blade?
Well, not in the Marvel universe.
But
though.
I don't know that they'll...
That New Mutants looks like a horror movie.
Yeah.
That looks like a straight-up horror flick. I don't know what that's going to be.
We don't have a musical.
We don't have a musical. I don't know who you're going to use for that.
Hugh Jackman.
A Wolverine musical.
Wolverine musical.
That's all we need.
So, yeah, this is it.
Snicked.
A Wolverine musical.
So
I'm sure Marvel's like, if they get too big for their britches, they're like, guess what we're doing?
Yeah.
Trademark
and there's two post.
The second post-credit sequence is Jeff Goldblum landing, and he was just like, you know.
It was worth it.
He was just like... Well, you can thank me. This revolution is fantastic, but let's be honest, without me, you wouldn't have a revolution. Right. So let's
we'll
give me the
applause.
Yeah, a draw.
Says,
it's a draw.
It's a draw.
He was great.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where it's like, okay, nothing really happens if you want to skip the last one, but it was worth it. Just
it's
for
much like
Jeff
the Captain America one where he's just like, why are you still teaching people about patience?
I like that they've kind of gone back to... That the stingers are funny rather
you
than
you get one stinger that sets
you
up
get
something.
A mid-credits scene that sets something up and then you get something fun or silly or goofy or
throw
unless
away.
You're Guardians and you have six of them
but I'm glad that they instead of always having to be some big
reveal because those first couple movies it's like it would be like somebody's got the Tesseract.
But those were
hammers in the desert.
Like those were important, though.
No, they were important. They don't need to do that.
They serve their purpose. Yeah. And I think if you keep trying to replicate that sense of like, oh my God, what are they gonna? This is like you can't. You're never going to recapture the. You know, I'm putting together a team.
Yeah, well, have we told you about the Avengers Initiative?
Yeah,
it's just like.
Yeah. You're never going to be, and I think the closest they've probably gotten is when you see Thor's hammer.
But beyond
that, you're never going to get that moment. And if they keep trying to create that moment, it's going to keep failing, and they're just
going to water it down.
Yeah,
I think we know that Captain Marvel is going to be set in the 1980s, so there's really nothing you could do that would introduce her besides having her there.
Right.
That explains why she's not going to be in.
Correct.
She's like not, where she's been because
well, she's a lot. I mean, Carol Danvers is a
But if it was set in the modern timeline, I guess then they would.
Where the hell has she been?
Yeah, where has she been? So
They're going to Wonder Woman it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Where'd she go? We'll figure it out.
All right.
She gave up on Bruce
Wayne.
They'll just do it better.
They will.
Yes.
Yeah. Have no fear. So this is, we're done until February. Mm-hmm. No more superhero movies.
Oh, I thought we just weren't going to do any more episodes.
We're finished with episodes. Yeah, we're going to come back for Black Panther.
Okay.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Oh, and do you have a video? God dang it. I always get the movie like I always go.
It's only like it's a pretty lame one. It's the 1988 Incredible Hulk Returns.
Nice.
The Hulk the TV show with Bill Bixby who they had turned the show, if you remember the Hulk TV show, it kind of turned into a cross between the Hulk and the Fugitive.
Was this David Banner?
Yeah, Dr. David Bruce
David
Banner.
Bruce Banner.
And
it was always the Fugitive.
He was always on the run from a reporter who apparently had the most lenient editor ever, Mr. McGee.
This is why print journalism is dead. They poured all their money into this guy.
He pursued this one story for 3 years.
And never found him.
Never found him.
Was he played by the guy from Halloween 3?
Which one? Well, there's so many in that movie.
The guy. I mean,
Tom Atkins?
Because he was a reporter, but also.
Oh, yeah.
The doctor,
McGee.
The librarian.
No, he's just. In this movie, so I think the show had been off the air for at least a couple years. And then they brought it back. And so it was like a TV movie event. And they brought the Hulk back and, you know, our Banner's back. And we find out that he's been out. He hasn't turned into the Hulk for 2 years. So it's sort of a flip of what this movie did. Yeah. Where he's been the Hulk for 2 years. He's not been the Hulk for 2 years. And he's working in some lab as Dr. David Branner or something. It was always some like
Bruner.
He had all those monogram sweaters. You just don't want to give them up.
David Banyan, David Bunyan, David Binner. I got all of them, you know. So anyway, he's like David Branner, and he works in a lab in the gamma like research department. Yeah, I'm like, well, you're not really hiding very well. And he lives on the beach with his girlfriend, and like everything's great. And you know they're gonna have this big announcement for some new tech, and he's like, oh, I just don't want to be on camera. They're like, you don't want the credit? He's like, no. And it's like, well, I mean, I guess back then it was harder to get, I guess, pictures of people, but it's like, you're really not in hiding, David Branner. But anyway, we find out that he had a student named Donald Blake. Yep. And then, yes, they
Donald
bring
Blake
in,
finds the
they
staff.
Bring in, yeah, they have a very...
very
weird
bad.
Version of the Thor origin, and they bring in Thor. And I remember watching this movie and being like really excited because I kind of thought it was a we call them a backdoor episode,
right? Yeah. It was a backdoor pilot,
you know, backdoor pilot for like a Thor series.
Show.
Yeah. And it was really excited, and then Thor doesn't really look like Thor, and he's got a crappy helmet and a cheap,
you know, who looks like Thor? Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes, in Adventures of Babysitting. This guy kind of, I mean, this guy's, and you've seen this guy in a lot of stuff, and he's very funny. He's a funny actor. I mean, the guy's big, and he looks like Thor. It's just, it's like, you couldn't.
He's wearing like brown with like.
Do the costume? Yeah. Could you not get any color? It's like, he's in a brown and
like fur collar.
Beige. Cheap
Halloween
costume, and you're just like, and then he and Thor tussle in the lab, you know, or he and the Hulk and Thor tussle, and then there's just a lot of exposition. It's not a great
about the
movie.
Trial of the Incredible Hulk,
starring
Daredevil,
Rex Smith,
Daredevil.
But this was the first time, and it really wasn't that successful, and it certainly wasn't successful, but it's the first on-screen version of the Hulk and Thor duking it out in slow.
Did they? Is there any homage in this movie to that one?
Any no, weeks? I didn't.
You would
see
think
any.
That there would be some kind
of. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's and also what was weird is I was watching it. It was like when Blake, because in the comic books Blake would disappear and become.
He would hit.
Thor.
So Blake would have like a limp.
Yes,
and he'd have a staff, a cane. And he would hit the staff on the ground, and he would become Thor.
Right. And in this movie, and in 88, this movie really bugged the hell out of me because he grabs the hammer. First of all, he just picks it up out of his backpack, and he goes, Odin! And then all of a sudden, there's Thor next to him.
Right.
And I'm like, what is this ding dong still here for?
Well, I think he summoned Thor?
Yes. So like in the comics, he would hit the thing, and they would switch places.
He'd
so
become
like,
Thor.
Donald Blake would go to Asgard while Thor was here.
But he summoned another guy next to him.
Yes.
That was...
yes.
Now, so what they should have done is a side, you know, like a back
switchy
three
switch.
Three story, you know, like a 3-page story in each issue of Thor is like
Donald Blake's
adventures
Asgard.
On Asgard. And he could just be like, hey, I'm here again.
Yeah, that's so awkward. You guys are all so much bigger than I am.
That would be hilarious.
They
to
reference
switch
Donald Blake in Thor 1.
Like, do they?
Yeah. So
does he say like a fake name? And he
so it's the name of Jane's ex-boyfriend.
Right,
is Donald Blake.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
That's the reference.
But So I mean, I can't say it's a great.
So he
movie,
did replace him.
He did technically.
He did replace him.
He did take his place.
He did take his place.
He did fill the void that Donald Blake
that's
used
true.
To fill.
Donald Blake also goes on to become Thunderstrike, but that's whatever.
He's better at hammering.
Well,
apparently.
Yeah. No Donald Blake in this movie.
This doesn't quite do it. And, yeah, it didn't really reboot or re-energize
it was not
the Incredible
easy.
Hulk series.
It was not easy being a nerd when we were kids.
No,
it wasn't.
No. But even then, it was like, well, we were excited. And then you're like,
damn it.
You're like, well, this is as close as we're going to go. Oh, there's so many times where I had to deal with that disappointment. Kiss meeting Stefan at a park, the Star Wars Holiday Special, the Hulk, and then Daredevil.
Yeah,
by the time
Hulk
Daredevil was on
the Hulk,
I was like, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, we were
it's
also
just not
going to
happen. Yeah, it's like, it's not going to happen.
Like, they're not going to get it right.
right, but whatever. So, well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, of course.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, G-R-A-N-E-Y.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett, or subscribe to Show Spoilers if you like Mr. Robot.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert, or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at facebook.com/real spoilers. Join the League of Show Sharers and stay up to date with all the witty banter throughout the week.
Yeah,
all sorts. As soon as we get our,
let us know when you see some.
Yes. As soon as we get our baby eating gifts ready from the
GIFs, not GIFTS, like
right.
GIFS.
Just I like, sure. I like that one. Too.
The holidays your way. I'll
yeah,
my
that's
way.
Fair. That's
don't
fair.
Judge me.
Fair enough.
Don't judge me. So if you can find all that at the League of Show Sharers on Facebook, and don't forget we're also on Twitter. Sometimes we even remember to tweet at Real Spoilers. That's real with two E's. So there. I think that's everything we can plug, and that's it for this episode. Coming up next time, we will talk about Murder on the Orient Express.
Kind of. Speaking of Kenneth Branagh,
have you read it?
The book?
Yeah.
Oh God, long time ago.
Have you read it?
And
I'm not going to bother to ask
fantastic,
Joe.
Fantastic. There was a great film version.
Did they do a comic book version of it?
No. Maybe at some point. There's a pretty good movie version. Yeah,
Albert
so
Finney.
It'll be interesting to see if I can enjoy the movie because I already know.
If you know,
unless
if you know the ending,
sometimes, but sometimes they do a twist. No,
you can't.
They
change,
can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Well, when twist, you see it, you will
okay,
understand.
Understand. Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a one time thing.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is Agatha Christie.
Yes.
It's Hercule Poirot.
Yes.
Is that how you say
Poirot.
That?
Poirot.
Yeah.
Hercule Poirot.
Hercule Poirot.
It's Kenneth Belgium.
Pardonnez-moi.
It's Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen next week. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Man,
he's
that mustache.
Call him Kenneth Branagh.
I've never seen a mustache
it's
like that
get
before.
Out of
pretty
here.
Epic.
You should, that Kurt Russell had a better mustache.
Oh, that Kenneth Branagh's mustache.
I think Kurt Russell's is natural.
Well, this is a character. Yeah, and we've seen Albert Finney and Peter Ustinov did this character.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. I saw one early review that referred to the Murder on the Orient Express as the worst kept secret in literature. You know, because everybody,
you guys don't know it. This will
yeah,
be fun.
Yeah. So yeah, do yourself a favor. Don't find out ahead of time.
I will be out next week. I'll be in Disney.
Ah, well, I guess we all have our crosses.
Yeah,
to bear,
I guess so.
So.
Poor you.
Yeah. So so anyway, so that's what we will be tackling next week. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Orville will die if he marries Princess Shalimar.
Work, 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 work. He said me happy. Work, 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 work. He see me, do me. Dirt, 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 dirt. So put me in. Work, 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 work. When you are gone, learn, 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 learn. Me not care if him hurt, 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 hurty.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at Aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.